Good morning. Welcome on this Pentecost Sunday to worship here at Alameda Christian Reformed Church. My name is Pastor Mark, and I welcome you if you're here with us in person. If you're joining us over Zoom or Facebook Live, we welcome you to this time not only of worship, but of celebration and fellowship. We are very excited to witness God's grace and God's love and mercy in the giving of His Spirit, which we celebrate this morning, not only in song and praise. This morning we hear profession and testimony of God's faithfulness in the lives of our friends. We will hear not only what God is speaking to us by His Word, but after our service, as I hope many of you received during the week, an email invitation, our Renewal Lab team is hosting a time of conversation, and there's not just kind of bonus to hook you in. If you are planning to stay with us for lunch, there will be pizza. There will be questions, because whenever, especially in this season, we do things together, there's going to be some question about how we're going to do this. You're going to hear a little bit more at the end of the service, just how we'll logistically figure this out. But I do want to assure you that we're going to accommodate whatever, you know, concerns you might have about how we'll enjoy this time together after the service. So there will be that, in case you came ready with questions already this morning. So I just want to acknowledge that. In your bulletin, there's also a few reminders coming up on June 5th. I know I blanked on another church gathering yesterday, but there's an opportunity to serve that if you need a reminder. You maybe heard last week, June 5th, over at The Point. If you know Alameda pretty well, The Point is a reference to not only the former Naval Air Station, but what's also been a wonderful housing community of our neighbors called Alameda Point Collaborative. What's associated with Alameda Point Collaborative is a garden and nursery called Plowshares Nursery, and they're hosting volunteers to do, you know, work, yard work in the nursery on June 5th through Project Peace. You can see the website in the bulletin, both the printed and online, if you get the digital version. Sign up through Project Peace. I'll be there if you want to join others, and we'll do some outdoor work on June 5th. So that's an opportunity to volunteer and serve here locally if you are called to do so. I'd also just ask for your continued prayers, not only for our conversations today, as we listen to the Spirit, as God reveals to us His will, His promise, His mission for us as a congregation. And as we speak in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, as we together follow in step with the Spirit of God. And so not only ask for your prayers for today, but as we as a team continue to do our work, we also will be having a congregational meeting coming up. Our council will be not only sharing, but drawing names from those nominated for elder and deacon in our church. That's on June 13th, that Sunday, just so you know, for not only voting members of the congregation, but for any visitors or attendees. If you want to know more about how we discern and select through the work of the Spirit those who provide leadership in our church, ask us questions. Get to know us. We are called to get to know you as we serve the Lord together. So again, that's on June 13th, to mark your calendar. Without many more announcements that come to mind, I tend to forget, as you can tell, I don't have them in front of me. But do check your bulletin. If when you came in, you helped us by making sure we have an updated email address. If you want to be on our list every week, that's the place this morning to make sure we have that. And we will make sure you get all of the announcements and other communications. If you want to communicate with us, every address ends in alamedacrc.com. And all you need to do is remember that, because you can send an email to pastor, council, to our office. If you want something in the bulletin, you just put bulletin. All of the email addresses are the same that way. I think that covers us announcements-wise. I'm going to invite my friends Melinda and Diela up front, because we're going to start off our service this morning in song. And it's a song that invites the Holy Spirit. It's very fitting that in our worship, in our liturgy, we ask the Lord. The Lord is the one who called us here. But this morning on Pentecost Sunday, it's fitting that we ask the Holy Spirit to dwell with us here. So then we're going to begin in song. And you may be seated. If you know the song or if you're so led to follow along, even with our masks on, we can use our discernment as the Spirit leads us to join in song as well. So we leave that to you, but we're going to begin this morning with the song, Holy Spirit. You to stand. We're going to use the words of Psalm 104. Psalm 104 not only acknowledges God as the Creator, the all-wise God who not only cares for every creature, but whose Spirit restores, renews the face of the earth. Would you join me in speaking here on the screen, the words in the yellow, they're bolded text in your bulletin? Let's be called to worship with these words this morning. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things, both large and small. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they're terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. We're now going to sing these very words from the psalm. We're going to sing the words of "Send us your spirit." I invite you, if you're able, to remain standing for this song. And then afterwards, we're going to affirm what we believe about God the Holy Spirit. And we'll conclude with a final praise song. So let's sing "Send us your spirit." With this question and answer to affirm what we believe about the Holy Spirit on this Pentecost Sunday. So would you respond to this question from the Heidelberg Catechism with the yellow text again on the screen? What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, that the Spirit with the Father and the Son is eternal God. Second, that the Spirit is given also to me, so that through true faith He makes me share in Christ and all His benefits, comforts me, and will remain with me forever. You may be seated at this time. We're going to sing another song that is a little more contemporary. It's maybe unfamiliar. And so if you want to join us after hearing maybe the first verse, you can do that. If you do know it, again, join us. And just a note, if you're visiting with us, and if there's a moment where to still be able to participate, if you're needing some space, again, whether it's I just want to invite you also to our fellowship hall in the back if you need that at any time during the service. But now we're going to sing Holy Spirit, Living Breath of God. By the work of the Spirit is that the face of Christ would be seen today, not only in God's work in the church, but as His kingdom is coming. We receive God's greeting this morning with words from the Apostle Paul through his letter to the Galatians. Friends, receive God's greeting now. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. And let's say together, amen. In our worship on this Sunday, we follow not only God's faithfulness from one generation to the next, we hear God's call through the prophets to His people to be a people who would not only find their identity in His word, in His will, but to know that when they turn to Him in repentance, that He would be faithful to them. God spoke by His Spirit through the prophets, through the prophet Joel, in words that we will hear echoed just in a moment on that day of Pentecost, that those who would see visions and dream dreams, those who would speak by the Spirit the truth of God's faithfulness, were those who turn to God in repentance for their sins. To confess our sins is to express faith in the God who frees us from our sin, but who knows the truth. And so we come to God claiming the truth about our need for redemption and salvation. Our call to confession we read together here from Joel chapter 2. Let's read these words together. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows, he may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. As we receive the assurance of the gospel today, we take a moment to reflect. We take a moment to pause. The words of this hymn we're about to lead in singing this morning, yet not I, but through Christ in me, calls us to hear the good news. As we turn to God in repentance and hope, we hear his voice clearly. So we do that, and we invite you to join us even as you learn with us, or maybe if you know it again, to sing the words of this hymn. I'll invite Melinda and Yale up front. We're going to lead in the singing of Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me.
Jesus, for he has said that that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hope, I hope in
story of Pentecost is our assurance, our pardon this morning, to hear not only what those gathered in Jerusalem heard, but we too this morning hear anew. And so we follow in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them, and they said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, "I saw the Lord always before me, because he's at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, my body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You've made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried. His tomb is here to this day, but he was a prophet. He knew God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. They said to Peter and the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Friends, the story of Pentecost is our story. Not just today, but every day we proclaim that Jesus has died, he's risen, he's ascended, and he has sent his Spirit. There is life and salvation and hope in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, our Savior. We not only hear Peter on that day, we hear God's words through him and the apostles in Scripture to us, that in repentance and the baptism of forgiveness through the Spirit, we can have life and we can profess our faith in Christ. This morning, we have the wonderful opportunity to hear God's faithfulness, to hear God's work in the lives of our friends, Carlos and Lindsay. And so in a moment, I'm going to invite them up front. And I know this can be kind of nerve-wracking, but we've talked about this for over a year now, and we are grateful to witness with them to God's work, to the Spirit's work, not only in their lives, but our life together as the church. And so they're going to share in a moment, but I'm going to not only ask them a couple of questions they're going to respond to, we too as the people of God get to respond to a question. A question that really reminds us that it is God's work of grace from beginning to end. And so, Carlos and Lindsay, would you guys come forward and join me up front? Aaron, I'm going to use this microphone for them when they share, just to let you know, okay? And you know what? We're going to stand so everybody can see, and because we want you guys to be able to be seen, we're going to stand right over there, okay? And I think it's fitting because we're going to stand next to the baptismal font here in our church. This is, for many who've been here before, or for those of you who are visiting, this is where not only children of believers, but people of many ages and in many seasons of life, God has called. God has called to not only in repentance, but in faith, receive the sacrament of baptism. And today, Carlos and Lindsay, we acknowledge in both of your baptisms that God not only called you to a life of faith, but that he has been faithful to his promises to you. That as he's led you to this day and to this body, that he is still faithful to you. And so we rejoice with God. And you guys can take your masks off. Sorry, I should have told you that. Because we not only want to see you and see your faces, but we want to hear. We want to hear with you of God's faithfulness. So with that, we're going to start with those questions. And I know them pretty well, but I need reminders. So I did bring my sheet. I have to find it here. Because these are questions that you can respond to. And I'll give each of you a chance to respond to. They're questions that, with the elders in our church, we've not only talked over with others as we've gotten to know one another and given testimony to God's faithfulness in your lives. We've shared in that walk together. And so, in a lot of ways, these are simple questions and responses, but they cover a long time together. And they cover the belief that God is not only here, but he is hearing you and is with you right now. Okay? So these are those four questions we talked about, and I'm going to go through them each at a time, and I'm going to give you guys a chance. I'll give you the microphone to hold, okay? And the answer, I'll repeat it so you don't have to remember it, you know, verbatim, okay? Each of you can say at the end of each question, respond by saying, I do God helping me, okay? I do God helping me. And for all of us in the congregation, it's going to be, we do God helping us, okay? I know it can be nerve-wracking to have to say something without it in front of you, all right? So again, I do God helping me, all right? So Lindsay, I'll start with you. Lindsay, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God sent to redeem the world? Do you love and trust him as the one who saves you from sin? And do you, with repentance and joy, embrace him as the Lord of your life? Lindsay, what's your answer?
I do, God helping me.
And Carlos, you can answer as well.
I do, God helping me.
Secondly, do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God, revealing Christ and his redemption, and that the confessions of this church faithfully reflect this revelation? Lindsay, what's your answer?
I do, God helping me.
And Carlos, what's your answer?
I do, God helping me.
Thirdly, do you accept the gracious promises of God sealed to you in your baptisms? Do you affirm your union with Christ and his church, which again, your baptism promises? Lindsay, what's your answer?
I do, God helping me.
And Carlos, what's your answer?
I do, God helping me.
And here's that fourth question that really calls to each of us when we profess our faith, but uniquely here in this church and in this place. This is the final fourth question. Do you both promise to accept the spiritual guidance of the church? In a spirit of Christian love, do you promise to participate in its worship, in its fellowship, and in its mission? Lindsay, what's your answer?
I do, God helping me.
And Carlos, what's your answer?
I do, God helping me.
I want to invite you, if you're able, to stand now, because these are kept promises of God that Lindsay and Carlos have responded to in question form, but we as the people of God also have the opportunity to respond. And so, friends, believers in Jesus, those who are here and also are hearing God's promises, as you are led to respond, would you respond again with, we do God helping us? Do you promise to love and support Lindsay and Carlos with your prayers, with your encouragement, and by your example? Friends, what is your answer? We do, God helping us. You may be seated. I'm going to ask Lindsay and Carlos to stay up here just for a little bit longer because they did want to share testimony. And I know, again, it's kind of nerve-wracking in front of everybody, but as we talked about, and as you're so led, Lindsay and Carlos, would you both take a moment to share with us what you've shared with some of us, but it would be wonderful to get to hear this morning. How has God brought you to this moment, and how can we praise him together this morning?
Sorry, my heart is, like, beating so fast, and... But so about 2 years ago, I was in a decently, not a big accident, but it was a car accident. And I was very shaken, and I almost couldn't function at work because I was still at the theater at the time. And I used to go to St. Joseph's Basilica here in Alameda growing up. And one of the songs that we always sang was On Eagle's Wings. And... one day, 2 days later from the after the accident, that song just popped into my head, and I just started singing it in my head and out loud, and I felt grounded. It grounded me. I was able to function. I was able to work, and I didn't know it at the time, but I felt like it was God talking to me and telling me that it was going to be okay. And then last year, sorry. This is just so emotional for me, but, I had just joined the choir, and we were singing Pia Yezu, which was the very first song I ever sang with choir. And I was at work at the school, and at that time I was putting together mats, and I closed my eyes for just a second while I was singing that song, and I had memorized the song. And I saw a hand reach down and try to touch me. And I'll leave this to you guys to imagine, to your imagination of who it might have been, but I opened my eyes so quickly, and I was literally almost in tears. And then a couple months later, I was actually here at church. And we were praising God and Jesus, and I closed my eyes, and I felt a hand reach down, and I saw the hand reach down and touch my head. And this very day, I almost broke down into tears just a few moments ago, because I felt a presence behind me while we were singing our last song. And I closed my eyes and I saw an angel behind me. And I still feel that presence right now.
Okay. For me, mine actually goes way back. So when I was little, as far back as I can remember, way before I knew God, I always felt this, something inside me that I felt like was missing. Something like there was more to this life than what I was told. I felt something spiritual, but I didn't know what it was. And for years and years, I just couldn't shake that feeling. And I tried filling it just with so many things, but nothing seemed to fill it. And then when I was around 14 or 15, I feel like I had a revelation, and I went to my first Christian camp. And at first I was kind of hesitant. I more just went because my best friend was going. But that camp changed my life forever, because while I was there, like Lindsay was saying, not only did I start feeling like I was seeing God reveal himself to me, but I also felt it, and I felt this deep connection inside, and all of a sudden, I felt like I heard his voice, and that void, that thing that I seemed to be searching for that I couldn't find, I found it. And I remember when I first, at my friend's house, we were doing a Bible study, and I really felt the presence of God. And in that moment, I broke down, and I just knew that I had to commit my life to him, that this, he was what I was searching for all along. And that day, I committed myself to Christ, and everything for me changed. I really felt his presence, and I felt like I became anew. And the same thing happened too when I got baptized. And ever since then, I feel like I've been seeing not only myself, but I've been seeing Christ at work through other people in the church and through some of my friends. I even, at this one camp where I was doing VBS, I had this one child come to me, and like he actually said he wanted to confess and he wanted to pledge his life to Christ. And in that child's eyes, I don't fully know how to describe it, but it's like I got the presence of God, and I saw him in that child's eyes, and it's just like, it was so overwhelming, and I have so many memories, you know, I won't go through all of them, but just so many memories of times where I even had doubt, where I started losing faith, but every time I felt like I was getting to that point, I felt like God showed his presence to me, and I just remember those days, and I remember the day that I committed to Christ, and I remember finally feeling fulfilled and feeling His presence. And that's, for me, that's what it was. So.
Amen. Praise be to God. Lindsay and Carlos. Yeah, hey now. I know that's a sign, but praise God. Lindsay and Carlos, we know that the ultimate gift is what God gives us in Himself. And to know that you share in that gift is a gift to us to hear this morning. But I do want to give you at least some tokens, if you will, gifts to recall this day. Not only a copy of one of the dearest statements of faith that in our church tradition we cling to. We had the question at the beginning of the service about the Holy Spirit. The first question and answer from the Heidelberg Catechism is on this certificate. What's your only comfort in life and in death? And in short, it's that we belong to Jesus, our Savior. So the date and your names are on here. And then I put this because I hope it might even go in a frame at some point for you guys. With it is a copy of the Apostles' Creed. And this morning, I'm going to give this to you guys, okay? These are gifts to remember today. We're going to respond in gratitude to not only your profession, but God's faithfulness in song. It's not exactly the song you mentioned, Lindsay, which is a little bit trickier. We're going to sing a song, though, that references how God spoke through the prophets, that we will be raised up, that we will not weary, but we will run. And God kept His promise in Christ. And so we're going to sing about the power of God's love. So if you guys want to find your seats again, I'll grab that from you. And we're going to respond in gratitude with the words of this song, The Power of Your Love. So standing as our prayer, those words remind us of how we respond to the work of God's Spirit in our lives. One of the ways this morning, as we're reminded every Sunday during this past year, because of contact and other reasons, if God calls you and leads you to share in the designated offering this morning, the note on the screen is that if you designate it as such, one of the places some of our own sons and daughters of our congregation have attended is Dort University, which is in the state of Iowa, a wonderful Christian liberal arts college and university that we continue to support and give God thanks for. But in all of the ways that we respond in gratitude to God, it's not only in the gifts financially that we give, but it's in our time, in our service, and especially in our prayer. Our prayer is that God is glorified in the giving and receiving of our offering this morning. Our deacons who are here this morning can show you, if you've prepared or feel so led, where you can share that tithe, that offering this morning. It'll be in the back. Luann, give us a wave, would you, in the back? Look for Luann this morning, okay? With that, we're going to turn to God's Word. Prayerfully this morning, in your bulletin, some of you got an email. I brought an incentive, okay? I'm not past, I'm not whatever direction, you know, I will use incentives. If you can fill out all the fill blanks this morning, these are spicy candy, okay? It's cinnamon, but it's a little very Pentecost, I thought appropriate, okay? If you can follow along, and I'm going to move quick this morning, given the time. Julian, you got to fill it out, though. Tell him. Got to fill out the fill in the blanks. I'll give you a little help. Don't worry. Come find me up. Here's, we've been in Ephesians and Colossians, these New Testament letters of Paul. And we're going to go through a bit larger chunk, but we're going to do it in segments that, with my prayer this week and my prayer this morning, the Spirit reveals is Pentecost fitting. Paul, when writing to the Ephesians, was writing to a church that faced many of the same challenges we today face. What does it mean to profess our faith? How do we live as those who've received the Spirit? Typically, we respond in the full length of the reading by saying, thanks be to God. This morning, we're going to break this up, okay? So it's a little bit different than our routine. But we give God thanks in hearing His Word this morning. We're going to begin in Ephesians 4, starting at verse 7. Okay, you can follow along with me on the screen, but if you brought your own Bible or want to look on using a tablet or some other device, please do that as well. We begin in verse 7, where Paul continues, "But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people." What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So as you can see in your bulletin, there's three parts here. There's three parts. Three parts to what Paul's saying. Before this, if you go back and read, as we heard a couple weeks ago, Paul has just said there is one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And in verse 7, then Paul goes on to say, it is grace. It is the grace of Jesus given to the body of the church. But what Paul is saying here is that Jesus, who not only descended in his death, but ascended, as Psalm 68, he's quoting there, says. Jesus has won victory as the true God. And Paul goes on to say, in his victory, in his ascension, he then gives gifts. Not just offices or named leaders. He gives the gift of the Spirit to all those in the body. On this Pentecost Sunday, Paul is saying to us, it is not only the good news of the gospel in Jesus, but his fulfilled promise to cause us to grow. In that growth, in that, as Paul describes it, maturity, we are truly made one body under the head that is Christ. And so this morning, as I summarize what I prepared to say, you're going to see, as Scott is going to show us in the next slide, the first thing Paul is saying is that it is the Spirit's grace that causes us to grow more like Christ. Hello. Hello, hello. Join us. I'll repeat it again. It's the Spirit's grace that causes us to grow more like Christ. All should hear. All those who have ears to hear. We're going to go on with Paul. Paul goes on in verse 17. Paul says, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that's in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Paul, again, in mentioning the seal of the Spirit, is calling out not just the Gentile believers in Ephesus, he's calling to the whole church, Jew and Gentile. Last week, we heard that Christ took down this wall between peoples based on their identity because they were to be one in him. That was their new identity. And yet Paul is saying, to have this identity, you need to be completely changed and transformed. You need to put off that old way of life. Paul makes it explicit. These are not only the commands God gave you, my friends. These are not only God's commands spelled out so clearly. These are God's truths. This is God speaking clearly. Paul says the truth matters in how you speak. But is Paul saying to this church, because you've been given this gift of grace, now go out and figure it out on your own? The reason we are sealed in the Spirit is because of the truth. Again, Paul said back in chapter 2, if you were with us, it is God's grace that performs His works that He prepared in advance. Paul's not laying another law back on top of the believers. Paul is calling them to speak the truth. On this day where we remember the giving of the Spirit, Paul is calling us. God, through Paul, is calling us. Calling us to know that it's the Spirit's truth. You can go to the next slide, Scott. That teaches us to turn. That shows us by the work of Christ in the gospel to turn from our old selves. To get rid of those things Paul has listed. The anger, the rage, the bitterness, the unwholesome talk. And it's the Spirit who teaches and equips us to talk the talk. To talk the talk of the gospel. To be a people of our word. So that's the second thing this morning. Let's finish now. In chapter 5, Paul goes on by saying, follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person's an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That's why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul ends this long section with light. The whole story of Scripture, the whole story of the gospel, is that the very light who came into the world made us and all things for God's goodness. And because God is good and holy, the light that shines uncovers the darkness. Paul says it is because of the gospel of Christ coming into the world. It's because of His grace and truth that we now must live in the light. The gospel says because Jesus Himself has done this work and is doing this work by the Spirit, you now not only must turn, you must live in the light. Friends, in reading Paul's warning, in reading his call, did you not only hear yourself in his list, do you recognize that it is the foolishness of not just this world, it is the foolishness in our hearts that causes us to turn away from God? But as Paul begins in chapter 5, he says, you must walk in the way of God's love. The way of love comes from the light of the Spirit, illuminating and exposing what we need in our lives to be changed. but also in the words of Christ calling us and enabling us to be lights to this world, because God has called you. God has called us to hear the gospel, to respond to the gospel. And today, that light of salvation to not only wake up, but to rise from the dead in new life is what the Spirit does. Because, Scott, as you can put that last slide up, it is the Spirit's light that shows us how to love and live, how to walk. How to walk as God calls us to walk. To live as He calls us to live. Friends, on this day, the Spirit's grace, the Spirit's truth, the Spirit's light, the work of God, the Holy Spirit, here and now in our lives, calls to us to turn, to live, to be renewed, and to follow Christ as we talk and walk. This is the good news of the gospel. May it conform our lives to God's will and word. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that your truth, that your will, Lord, that your desire for each one of us would not only sink deep, but Lord, that you would truly fall afresh on us, Holy Spirit. We would grow in Christ, that we would grow in our understanding and knowledge of what it means to live, not as fools, but Lord, as wise because of your word. Lord, open our hearts, open our eyes to truly see that what you say, Holy Spirit, is here in your word, that we can turn to it no matter what we face, no matter what we've done, Lord, that we can receive in repentance and hope, we can receive your forgiveness. We can receive new life. Jesus, this morning, we thank you. We thank you for fulfilling your promise to send the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Walk with us, we pray. We pray all of this, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, our Savior, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, and God's people say, amen. We're going to respond in song, Spirit of the Living God. Let's use these verses to seek again God's word and God's will for our lives. The story again of Pentecost, where God gives us this image, not only as the church, as it was beginning to be sent into the world, showed the world what a community of the work of the Holy Spirit looked like, but God calls to us. He's been calling to us here in our own church in a season of renewal to rely on His work in and through us to bring the kingdom, to bring that vision of the kingdom that is coming soon. And here we have this foretaste that is our commission. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Friends, we go with this benediction. I invite you to stand with me. I invite you to join me again with the words, that yellow text on the screen. Friends, as we go, not just on this day, this Pentecost day, but each and every day, keeping in step with the Spirit, friends, go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit and committed to the work of Christ. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. The blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and forever. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to give us a note about our plans for after the service, all right? As you are dismissed by our greeters, we're going to invite you to stay for a time of conversation. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, if you weren't here, we as a Renewal Lab team, I hope you were called or got the news this week that we are joining around tables indoors. If that is uncomfortable for you, we invite you to stay, and we'll find you even on the front lawn. We have lots of incentives today. We are having a pizza lunch afterwards. And as you gather around tables, because of, you know, the recent statistics and I think our confidence as a Renewal Lab team, you may remove your mask around the table and while we're eating, in conversation and in eating. But again, we want to accommodate. So if there are ways you want to participate, but that's not your comfort, again, we want to meet you in this place and listen to the work of the Spirit together today. So the greeters will help us dismiss, okay? And again, I want to thank those who are greeting this morning. And if you have questions, you can ask one of them. Hopefully that covers it all. Thanks, Carrie.